Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The first reading from this weekend's readings comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, if there's one book besides the Gospels that you must read before your lifetime here in this world has ended, it's Ecclesiastes. Why? Because Ecclesiastes comes from the wisdom literature of the Bible. The wisdom literature of the Bible consists of books like the Book of Wisdom, Baruch, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, and a few others. This wisdom literature is exactly what it is. It gives us good, wise, sage advice about life, about human nature, about a relationship with God. Therefore, I strongly encourage you, please read Ecclesiastes. It'll take you maybe 20, 30 minutes at best. Read it. It's important for your spiritual life. More to it, read it to and with your children. Why? Because it lays a solid foundation for the moral as well as the spiritual life. Now, the passage that we have for this weekend is the very beginning of Ecclesiastes. And it's written in the voice of this person named Cuilaith. It reads, "Vanity of vanities, says Cuilaith. Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity." And so we're led to believe that this person named Cuilaith is speaking to us, giving us his advice about life. Now, some scripture scholars would argue this person named Cuilaith is actually King Solomon. Remember that great scene when Solomon becomes king. God comes to him and says to Solomon, "Ask anything of me, and I will give it to you." Solomon says that he wants wisdom. That is the gift that he wants from God, and God grants him wisdom. In fact, Solomon becomes the wisest person in the entire world. And so now, through this book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon is imparting his wisdom about life. Notice how it starts, "Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity." Now, appreciate the context in which this first reading is set in. King Solomon is an old man. He's nearing the end of his life. Now, King Solomon is a person that's done everything. He's seen everything throughout his entire life. He's lived a very privileged life. He's had wealth, luxury, fame, honor. He's had every sensual pleasure. And now this wise old man looks back at his life. And what does he say? "Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity." Basically, he's saying it's all in vain. All of our personal accomplishments are in vain. He continues, "Here is the one who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and yet to another that has not labored over it, he must leave property." Notice the juxtaposition where he says, "Look out." Well, now King Solomon is looking out into the world, and he sees all of us slaving away. We refer to it as the rat race. You know, we are constantly spinning our wheels, trying to get ahead, trying to be successful. And what does King Solomon say? This is all vanity and a great misfortune. He continues, "For what profit to man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? All these days, sorrow and grief is his occupation. Even at night, his mind is not at rest." Well, now Solomon takes a deep look within inside of himself. Now he sees that his ego has directed his life. He can't sleep. He's obsessing about himself in relationship to the world. How do the people see me? What do people think of me? Now notice that phrase, everything under the sun. Now if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you see that phrase repeated. Now what does that really mean? Well, what truly is under the sun? The world. And so King Solomon is telling us that nothing under the sun, nothing in this world is able to satisfy us. And herein lies the heart of King Solomon's message for all of us. If you're looking out into this world and looking for something in this world to satisfy you, to give you meaning and purpose in life, you won't get it. And yet, therein lies the great temptation to look into the world and try and find satisfaction, try and find purpose and meaning and fulfillment in our life. Remember again who this author is. King Solomon. He is a person that has great wisdom. He's a man that had everything in life. From the very beginning of his life, he was the son of King David. He lived in the royal palace his whole life. When he snapped his fingers, he had servants running to his attention to give him anything that he wanted. And yet, this wise old king looks back at his life, and what does he say? Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. Now, we have to really take this message to heart. Why? Because if King Solomon were a person who never experienced this life of privilege, we could argue, well, you know, he doesn't have much credibility. If he really had a taste of honor, if he had a taste of wealth and power, he would say, this is exactly what I want, and I want more of it. This is what gives me joy and pleasure in life. But Solomon has done everything. He's seen everything. That's why Solomon's wisdom, as well as his credibility, is so incredibly valuable to us all. Now, I often give you that quote from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God said, "Let us make man in our own image and likeness." St. Augustine said, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and therefore our hearts are restless until they rest in you, my God." We are made for God. We are wired for God, and only in God and God alone can we find purpose, meaning, and fulfillment in life. And yet, herein lies the danger. That desire, that infinite desire that each and every one of us has for the divine, to hook it on to something else in this world. And see, that's what Solomon is saying when he says, vanity of vanities, all is in vain. He knows, and he's seen it himself throughout his entire life, people taking that infinite desire for the divine and placing it on something else in this world. Now, where is this clearly seen in our society? Well, various examples. Hollywood stars, politicians, you know, they place that infinite desire that we all have for the divine and they attach it to power and honor and wealth. What happens? We see them all fall. Eventually, they all do, one after another. Their lives are miserable. They end up with addictions. Worse yet, they end up on Oprah. Now, that's why I always argue, you will always see a Hollywood star or a politician hit rock bottom when they appear on Oprah. And what do? They confess their sins to the world. Now, with that lesson from King Solomon, let's now go into the gospel. And we see Jesus giving us this powerful parable about this rich man. Here, Jesus is teaching his apostles the same lesson as King Solomon. Notice what this young rich man says. He says, "Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for so many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry." Eat, drink, and be merry. Essentially what he's telling himself, indulge. Indulge in every earthly or worldly pleasure and comfort. This rich man is hoarding all of his wealth. That's why he wants to build bigger barns. He's addicted. He's addicted to his wealth. Again, when we attach that infinite desire for God into something else in this world, we become obsessed with that thing, whatever it is, honor, wealth, power. And that's exactly what we see in this parable in the gospel. This man is obsessed with his wealth. That's why he hoards it all. Therein lies the danger or the temptation for us all. We say to ourselves, you know, I just need that house. I just need that car, that promotion at work. As soon as I receive it, then I'll be satisfied. Then I won't need or want anything any longer. And so we work and we strain and we put all our effort into getting it, and we get it. And then we're happy. But then that happiness, that joy fades away. And then we say to ourselves, well, I just need a bigger house. I just need a newer car. I just need a little bit more money. And so we stress and we strain and we work for it. And then we get it. And then we're happy. But that happiness and joy then fades away. And then we fall into that vicious cycle in which we keep repeating ourselves. And you see, that is exactly what's happening in the parable. That's why it says, there was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, what shall I do? For I do not have space to store more harvest. So he said, this is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. See, this man is caught in that vicious cycle. He's going to tear down his barns and build bigger ones. And then when he's not satisfied with those, he'll tear those down and then build bigger ones. He's obsessed with what he has. Now, how does God respond to him? It says, you fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Herein lies the second lesson that now Jesus is teaching us. Life is about finding the greatest good. I'll say that again. Life is about finding the greatest good. And what is the greatest good? God Himself. Only God can satisfy that infinite longing that we have for the divine. Only God can satisfy our sense of purpose and meaning in life. Now, don't get me wrong. Houses, cars, bank accounts, property, boats, there's nothing wrong with them. They're all good in of themselves. They're all gifts from God. They should be enjoyed. Yet the moment they become the ultimate desire in our life, that's when we have deep, deep problems. The ultimate desire in our life should be God and God alone. I'll leave you with just one last thought. A little while later, in this same chapter from Luke's gospel, Jesus will tell his apostles, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." What is our greatest treasure? Our greatest treasure is God. Our faith in God, God's love for us, and the promise of salvation that He gives us all. That is our greatest treasure, and that is where our heart should always be. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.